His presence to worship Him and to honor Him and to give Him all the glory. Because that's what He deserves. You know, He deserves that, all the glory and honor. Because it's not us, it's all Him. And, you know, it's an honor just to be able to do, to share this message with y'all this morning. You know, we was eating at the donut shop yesterday morning for breakfast, and my daughter asked my wife who was preaching, and she said, "Your dad." And she said, "Ooh, yes." Now, I don't know if that's because she knows dad is only about 20 minutes, so she was excited that dad, that she'll be getting out of church early or what. But I don't know. I'll leave that up to her. I won't judge her on that. I still love her, though. But we're talking about the armor. The armor of God in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. I started on it a couple Sundays ago when Pastor didn't have a voice that he couldn't speak. But I just want to go over a few things that I talked about the first time when I talked about it. 34, Phil. It says the enemy may be invisible, but he is not fictional. He is definitely real. You know, we talked about eye-opening, unveiling the strength in every person who's in a relationship with God through Christ. We talked about the vision, utilizing our spiritual resources and recognizing them. You know, He gives us this armor, and we have to use it and recognize that it's there for us to use. We talked about the enemy's strategies, and I list a couple of them. You know, he attacks your passion, which he attacks your, you know, your prayer to worship, to be a witness, to be light and salt. That's what he called us to be light and salt of this world. He attacks our identity. He magnifies your insecurities, leading you to doubt what God says about you. He attacks your family. He wants to divide your home, rendering it chaotic, restless, and unfruitful. He attacks your calling. He amplifies fear, worthy, and anxiety until they're the loudest voices in your head. And your relationships. He creates disruption, disunity with spouse, friends, and within the body of Christ, the church. And then I end with God is greater than anything the enemy attempts. And here we go, right here this morning. It says, your armor is Yahweh's own armor, given as a gift and empowered by His Spirit to ensure victory. You know, Yahweh, this Ephesians account is connected to Isaiah. As I was studying, like I said, that this was Yahweh. He put this armor into play before Paul was writing this to the church. While he was in prison, now he wrote this letter to the church. So Isaiah 59, 1 through 21. I'm going to read that. Ain't going to take me long. But the main verses I want us to focus on is 15 through 19. It says Isaiah 59, starting with verse 1. It says, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that it cannot save, nor is His ear so dull that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken falsehood. Your tongue mutters wickedness. No one sues righteously, and no one pleads honestly. They trust in confusion and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch adders' eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a snake breaks forth. Their web will not become clothing, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works of iniquity, and an act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Devastation and destruction are in their highways. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. But behold darkness for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. All of us growl like bears and moan sadly like doves. We hope for justice, and there is none for salvation, but it's far from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. In verse 15, you know, and by the way, he's talking about the children of Israel right here. His hand picked. This is God's people that he had to use his own, that he had to institute the armor on himself. He says, yes, truth is lacking, and he turns aside from evil, makes himself a prey. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in the sight, that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, and was astonished that there was no one to intercede. Then his own arm brought salvation to him, and his righteousness upheld him. He put on righteousness like a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and wrapped himself with a zeal as a mantle. According to their deeds, so he will repay, rat to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the coastlands he will make recompense, so that they will fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. For he will come like a rushing stream, which the wind of the Lord drives. A redeemer will come to Zion, and to those who turn from transgression, and Jacob, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit which is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and forever. So before Paul even talked about this armor, Yahweh had them put it into play, way in the prophet, in Isaiah. Ephesians 6, 13 through 16. You know, this armor is referring to an armor. The way they listed it, the way they have it in order right here, is the way a Roman soldier would equip himself in the exact same order that Paul wrote right here when he before he would go into battle. It says 13 through 16, but we're going to start with verse 10. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints. And go back to Isaiah. Got a little ahead of myself. We're going to go to 57. Because it was so much wrong going on with his children of Israel, with Israel. Their pure worship of Yahweh had been replaced by adultery and perverted cultic practice, sorcery, prostitution, and child sacrifice. And that's why he had to, that's why Yahweh put this armor into play. Because it says in 57, 1 through 5, it says, the righteous man perishes and no man takes it to heart. And devout men are taking away while no one understands. For the righteous man is taking away from evil. He enters into peace. They rest in their beds, each one who walk in his upright way. But come here, you sons of sorcerers, offspring of an adulterer and a prostitute. Against whom do you jest? Against whom do you open wide your mouth and stick out your tongue? Are you not children of rebellion, offspring of deceit, who inflame yourselves among the oaks under every luxuriant tree, who slaughters the children in the ravens under the cliffs of the crags. The first four pieces of the armor are introduced as a command to stand. In verse 13, it says, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm, therefore having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, take up the shield of faith, with which you would be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So the very first four is commanding us to stand, to take up the armor. It tells us back to back, stand firm, gird your loins with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, and the peace, preparation of peace on your feet. Paul's intention was to clarify that one can stand against the powers of darkness. What a resource that he's given us with that armor to where we can stand against the power of darkness, that way we can stand against whatever the enemy is throwing our way. In 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortress. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." Paul is referring to a Christian's life as warfare against Satan, using resources supplied to us by God. Paul had already explained each piece of this armor earlier in this letter. You know, as I was beginning to studying, I didn't go just to Ephesians 6 where the armor was originally talked about. You start in the very beginning of Ephesians, you'll see that in different verses throughout the whole book, throughout this whole letter that he wrote, he was talking about this armor. And then he just explained it to us at the end of in chapter 6. He started with truth. I'm going to talk about truth and righteousness this morning. It says, "Truth is your core support. It provides the essential backing you need when you're in the midst of spiritual warfare." Ephesians 1:13. "In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise." Thank him for that promise. You know, to be sealed in him with a promise, he's so good. He's so good to us. I like this little walking back and forth. Kind of relaxes you. You know, I usually just stand up there and then I start pouring with sweat. You swear something's wrong with me. Can't even tell I drank a pot of coffee this morning. Maybe that's why I'm walking so much. God's good. It says Ephesians 4:15, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is head, even Christ." Ephesians 4:21 through 25. It says, "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." You know, truth, sometimes people don't want to hear the truth. You know, when you start speaking the truth, they think you're crazy. They think something's wrong with you. They think your congregation, your pastor, y'all done fell off the cliff. You know, nobody wants the truth. But the truth, it says in the word, the truth is what set us free. And I thank God for the truth. I thank God that he has opened up our eyes to so much understanding with the Torah. You know, the Torah has been so powerful. It's such a great tool of information. Such a great tool of information, how to learn the scripture. It gives you so much scripture. And I just thank him for it. "For you," Ephesians 5:8-9, it says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." I can remember, you know, as I was at work the other day and riding in the boat, and I was just thinking about this, the message, thinking about the armor of God. And we used to sing a song. Well, my oldest brother used to sing it in church. And it was, I'm going to sing a little bit of it. I can't sing too good, but I'm going to just try to sing it and tell you. Because he reminded me of that song. Because we were singing it and it really, it doesn't line up with the scripture. You know, you walk, and you might have heard it, walking into the enemy's camp, laying our weapons down. Well, he don't tell us to lay our weapons down. He tells us to every day put the armor on. You know, leading your weapons as you go, leaving it on the ground. Nah, that didn't line up. You got to be aware there's a war going on between the wrong and the right. Well, that part's right, of course. We got to choose which side we're on, the darkness or the light. Then it says, because some of the soldiers, which would be us, of the Lord, just don't realize that the captain of the army of darkness. And I was like, whoa, no, listen, the captain of the army of darkness. That's not what this word says. It said he is light. He's not darkness, you know, and just that just stuck out to me because I wasn't thinking about that song, but I was meditating on his word. And that song, he gave me that. He said, man, remember when y'all was singing that when you was little? It wasn't lining up with the scripture at all. And as you studying his word, and I thank him for those little moments that he'll remind you of stuff that you did way back when that just ain't lining up with scripture, with the truth. And I thank him for it. He's so good to us. It says truth refers to believers doing what is right and being faithful to God. Doing what is right and being faithful to God. Psalms 119, 160. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous ordinance is everlasting. Christians must be prepared for everyday conflicts with the forces of the evil one. Every day. Satan he's not going to take a break. He's going to attack you. He's going to try to remind you of something you did way back when. He's going to come against whatever you might be dealing with. Whatever it might be, your finances, your relationship. Every day, we must prepare ourselves. Every morning when we wake up, we must say, we ought to be telling ourselves, Lord, I thank you for your armor. Every morning, I'm going to put your armor on. Every morning. Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on the full armor of God. Notice. And I kind of said something the first time I talked about this a couple Sundays ago, and it was brought to my attention. I just didn't, maybe I said it and didn't wasn't clear. Now, I said that the armor, when it says to put on the full armor, you have to put on the full armor. You can't just decide not to take the helmet of salvation today. Or, I'm not going to need the shield of faith. It works to the fullest when it's all. Not just, I don't need my shoes of peace. You definitely need your shoes of peace every day. If you living, if you working, if you just dealing with people, you're going to need peace. So I just want to clarify from last Sunday that not that the armor doesn't work. It just, when it works, it works at its, like it's supposed to when you are fully clothed in the armor of God. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6:13, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Believers' response to the reality of this warfare should be to use every piece of God's armor, every piece. From the helmet to the shoes, from the head to the toes, like they said. In order for us to stand our ground in the heat of battle, we need every piece of God's armor. You know, just like that would be a lie. That's one of the things that Satan would come against. You really don't need the sword. You don't need the word today. You don't need to pray. You know, that's what he would, that's the kind of things he would attack. That's what the kind of things, that's the schemes that he, that's the kind of stuff he throws at you. That's one of them fiery darts that it talks about. Only with the armor will you be able to stand firm. It will be impossible to stand on your own strength alone. I learned that the hard way. If you think by some strange reason that you can do this on your own, you're going to fail. I failed big time, quite a couple times. So for us, in order for us to stand our own strength alone, it's impossible. We need him. We need a savior. 1 John 4:4, it says, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." Romans 13:12. "The night is almost gone and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." We got to put on Christ every day. Every day. Not just some days. Every day we got to put him on. We can't just choose what days we want to put him on. That doesn't work. That's not how it works. That's not being obedient. John 12:46. I'm not going too fast, huh? "I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me will not remain in darkness." We're going to talk about putting righteousness on like a breastplate. You know, they the Roman soldiers, that breastplate, it would cover them from the neck all the way to the thighs. After they would put the belt of truth on, because that was the first thing that went on, the belt of truth, and then everything connected to that belt, to that truth, to the belt, from there. You know, that armor, like I said, that breastplate of righteousness, and it would, they had a back piece, but it would cover them from the neck all the way to their thigh. It says, "God is perfect, as is his standard of righteousness." Now, God is perfect as his standard of righteousness. So you say, well, how can we be perfect? Well, we're not going to be perfect. We can't be perfect. There's only one that was perfect. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." If God's perfection, is what Paul was referring to when he commanded us to put on the breastplate of righteousness, we all would be in big trouble. That's not what Paul was referring to when he told us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And that's not what they was talking about when it says God is perfect as his stand, as is his standard of righteousness. And the enemy loves to use this to his advantage, inciting us to chase perfectionism instead of chasing God. So what righteousness? How can we have this righteousness but yet not be perfect? Imputed righteousness. The cross. Thank God for the cross. I thank him every day for the blood that was shed, for his son, that all the agony he went through so we can have this righteousness that he's talking about. It's man, I tell you, he's so good to us. It says, when you trust Jesus as your personal savior, the penalty of sin is removed and the gift of God's own righteousness is given, imputed to you. So that's that perfect righteousness he's talking about, is when we trust Jesus as our savior and sin is removed and the gift of God's own righteousness. It's a gift. You know, back back then when he had to use it, when God himself, Yahweh, used it against, had to put it on for his children, Israel, for all their wickedness. And then it turned out to be a gift to us that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesians. A gift. Wow, what a gift. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Romans 3:24-25. Being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God, he passed over the sins previously committed. Romans 3:26. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. In case you haven't noticed by now, I give a lot of scripture. Ephesians 4:17-18. It says, so this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. Don't you just love when God calls somebody ignorant? I mean, if we would try that nowadays, boy, people would be offended. They would get mad. They wouldn't want to come to our church no more. Oh, man. But that's why you just give them the word. Say, hey, look, I didn't call you ignorant. It's what God said. Exclude from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Stop being ignorant because of your hardness of your heart. God said it. Get mad at him, not me. Ephesians 4:19-20. And they, having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness, but you did not learn Christ in this way. Ephesians 4:21-22. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. You know, that's what we have to do. You know, it's like I said, we become a new creature when we accept him. We have to lay aside all these old and corrupted ways, you know, and we have to turn our ways to him. We have to put him on every day, you know, and be obedient to the things that he asks us to do, the things that he tells us to do, the things that he recommends us to do in his word. Just a couple more. That's why my daughter was so excited. The Lord just told me that. No, I'm just playing. Ephesians 4:23-24. It says, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That's what putting on the new self is. It's his righteousness, his holiness, and his truth. He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. Proverbs 21:21. So that's what we have to pursue it. Psalms 15, 1 through 2. O Lord, who may abide in your tent, who may dwell on your holy hill, he who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. Psalms 23, 3. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Psalm 71, 2. And last one, Psalms 119, 142. It says, your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. You know, so this righteousness we put on, we can have it forever. Because his righteousness is everlasting, and his law is truth. I thank him for the truth. You know, sometimes the truth, I think it was Brother Herman that talked about it one time, that he said, getting that massage in the mall. You know, and sometimes the truth feel like that. As a matter of fact, he said, yeah, it was father-in-law or his dad that said that they wanted to slap or choke that little guy or woman, whoever was doing it, because it hurt it. You know, and sometimes the truth hurt. You know, sometimes you want to ask that potter to stop. You know, but the truth that hurts, that means we got some stuff that we got to get rid of. You know, something is on the inside that's bothering us. And that's why his truth is, you know, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good at all. But, you know, he cares so much about us that he would never lead us astray. He's so faithful to us, so faithful, so good. And I thank him. Thank him. Just like that song we sing, he's good in all his ways, all his ways. Not some ways, all his ways he's good to us. And he's faithful in everything. He's never late, always on time. And I tell you, it's just an honor and a pleasure, you know, to be serving God in this time. You know, it's such a such a privilege. And I just give him all the glory and the honor. And next Sunday, we're going to talk about the feet, our feet, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's where I'm going to start at next Sunday. I think it's like the two slides down, Phil. Anyway, yeah. We're going to start with Ephesians 6:15. It says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So, you know, I want to thank y'all for coming this morning, you know, and letting me share the word that the Lord has placed on my heart. You know, he worked out every detail for us to be here this morning, for us to hear what the word that he needed to say and needed to get across. Now, we just love him and appreciate him. Brother Troy has something he wants to say this morning. Thank y'all.
Wow. You know, it's so awesome to be here at this time. And, you know, I watched Brother Josh, and throughout the week I probably called him every day. And, you know, here's a young man that it's not supposed, according to the world, according to his family, according to his friends, He's not supposed to be standing here this morning. Because way back, I remember the first time they walked into this church, young, little, but God made a choice. And he chose him even from his mother's womb for this day. So I guess, you know, with the word going the way it went, and, you know, he didn't finish. So they have to come. If you're here this morning, you need to get the rest of it. You just got to come back next Sunday. Some of my guys in the back's looking at me like, wow. It's a little bit of a hike. But I want to just take this time to say that we appreciate our Amish family for being here. I want AJ and Sister Leanna to come up here for a minute. I told him I was going to get the mic for him. But I want to tell the guys, we really appreciate you being here, taking the time out to come and help in a time of need. And I want to just share with you, it's been an honor to be with you for the last week. And, you know, some of you I knew before, and some of you I just met, Harley and his group. We just want to say thanks. And I want to let you know that you've made a difference in the lives of people. And, you know, if some of you is trying to figure out what I'm talking about, they've been working for the last week in Baton Rouge, gutting, rebuilding. And, you know, these guys don't play. We showed up at a house the other morning, and it's about 6:45. And I went knock on a little trail out in the front of the house, and I said, hey, we're here. And the guy's like, good thing I got up early. I said, yeah, good thing. Because if you want work done in the Amish here, you better get up early, or you're going to miss out on the work. But we just want to say thank you. And I just want to share this with AJ. I'll tell you what you've had a question for a long time. Why are you where you are? Why there's so many? Look, I've never seen a man and a wife, I want my wife to come up here, that kids, young people, are so attracted to. And the reason is, you're a link. You're a connecting link in the chain of God's kingdom. And to a lot of kids, a lot of young people, the only God they see, the only God they know, is what they see in your lives. But continue to be there, to be willing. And you know what's so awesome about this? God's just getting started. It's going to be many children that you're going to touch their hearts, you're going to touch their lives, and you're going to lead them in the right direction. You know, leadership is an important role in this day and time. And I want to tell these young guys, all of our youth here, our youth. You know, sometimes all we see, as far as what the world has to offer, is the bright lights in the good time. But you know, on the other side of those bright lights, is devastation and destruction. Because there ain't but one true light. And his name's Jesus. He's the only light. He's the only way. And the only way to be a part of God's kingdom, the only way to be a part of the Father, is through the Son. And AJ, I've seen you just leading people to that light because of the willingness to take time out. Now, I've never seen a person just being busy and busy and busy, and all of a sudden a child comes up and he just takes time out and he spends time with those children. You know, my grandson called me almost every day. Where's Mr. AJ? I need to see him. He called me on FaceTime. I want to see him, Paul. I want to talk to him. But there's a reason for that, because of the spirit that God placed in his heart, and it draws kids. And I just want to tell him thank you for being willing to be used by God. Thank you for showing up. You know, we were traveling throughout the week in different parts of Baton Rouge, and you know, just the other night I decided at the last minute I was just going to stay up there, and got ready for bed, and I laid down on that air mattress, and I just asked the Lord a question: am I where I need to be? Is this the place that you have for me for this time in my life? See, it's not only about going to a house. It's not only about going and rebuild a house. But I'll never forget the first day on August 16th, about 1:15 in the afternoon, I pulled into a driveway. And Brother Josh, when I pulled in, a yard was as clean as this carpet. And I looked around and I said, Lord, what am I doing here? Why did you send me? And I went to the front door and I stepped in. In house after house after house, furniture flipped over, refrigerators flipped over. And I remember this statement to one of the guys that I spoke to. He said, the last thing I remember when I walked through the house, the water was coming up. And he said, sewer began to spew out the bathtub, the shower, and the toilet. And when I went through the house, it was a mess. And as I was sitting, as Brother Josh was bringing forth the word, the Lord reminded me of this. He reminded me of it just a few days ago. In the hearts and lives of a lot of Christians, everything seems to be fine. It all appears good. But on the inside, things is flipped over. It's a mess. But God said, thank God for his word. If we'll take him at his word, if we will allow him, he wants to step in. He wants to come on the scene. He wants to come in and fix some things. And see, I don't know what was said last night. I don't know what happened in the service last night, because I was next door taking care of stuff. But as I was standing there and a song service began, the Lord showed me, said, I want to visit some hearts. I want to visit the inside of some folks. And he said, I didn't come to throw anything away. He said, but I come to take them to the potter's house. I come to put them back on the wheel. Come to get some of those things that they've allowed the enemy to creep in with. I come to work it out. I come to pull it out. See, God don't throw us away. But he takes us to the potter's house and he molds us. And he makes us what we need to be. Let's all stand. And you might be here this morning. Listen to me. There's nothing I can say or do to add to anything that Brother Josh said this morning, or to change anything that he said, because it's without the armor of God, that's what happens. The inside of our house gets messed up. But if you're here, and you're that one, whether that you're that person, you say, I need the Lord. I need God to take me back to the potter's wheel. I want you, and listen, it's been a long time since we've done this, but I'm just following the leadership of God's Spirit. I'm not trying to embarrass nobody. I'm not trying to point you out. Because let me tell you something, our Lord and Savior, God's only Son, they never took him and said, let's sneak him to the cross. But they took him right down the streets of the city. People were watching him. People were looking at him. They mocked him. They spit on him. They slapped him. And they marched him right through the city bearing his cross. They didn't say, everybody close your eyes and nobody's looking around. But everybody seen it. That whole town seen what they were doing our Savior. He fell on the way. After being beat, you see, we got the wrong concept of who Jesus is. He wasn't God. I said he wasn't God. He was God's Son. He was flesh just as you and I are. He hurt, he bled, and he got tired. But every time he got up, you know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if you're here, and there might be a spot about right up in here, that we need God to just reach in and put us on a potter's wheel and get that hardness out. They might be some lumps in a clay, but you know what he wants to do? He wants to soften it up and get us where we need to be. I want you to step out of your seat and walk down here. And we're going to pray with you. And the reason I have these standing here is we're all going to pray for you. We want to let you know that we're here for you. We're here with you. But if you're here and you say, I hadn't been feeling like I should have been feeling. See, it's an attack of your mind. And God wants to renew your mind this morning. But see, we have to be willing. You say, well, if I wouldn't have felt so alone, I wouldn't be in a condition I'm in. Listen, Jesus felt alone. He asked his disciples. He said, stay here and pray. When he came back, they were asleep. And he woke them up and they started praying again. He came back, they were asleep again. Finally, after so many times, he said, sleep on until the time came. When they came into the garden and they got him. And they tied him to a whipping post. And they beat him to where he was unrecognizable. But every stripe that he took, listen to me, Jesus paid the price for you and I to be made whole. He paid the price that we can walk in healing. We can live in healing. See, it's not God's will that we walk around sick. You might be here and need a physical healing in your body. Our God's able, because his son paid for it. His son paid the price. And you might just, if you want to be prayed for a physical inner healing, just come up here and we're going to pray with you. We're going to believe God for a miracle that you'll be made whole. Not touched. Not just touched. Because too many times we just want to pass by and get a little touch. I'm talking about be made whole. Where's Brother Herman at? Made whole. And see, sometimes what God has for us, come stand right beside this brother. It's got to start right here. I said it's got to start right here. Because the enemy lies to us, and we start believing it. And when we start thinking about it, and it gets control of our mind, and we start doing things that we shouldn't do. We start doing things that we really don't want to do. But by the renewing of our mind this morning, you know, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why? You know, explain this for AJ. Explain this being a connecting link to me.